Okay, good morning. Okay, let's begin. We're off to Perek Chaf Gimel. We are going to discuss the conspiracy, the kesher of Yehoyada to overthrow Atsalia and to appoint Yoyosh as the new melech. Okay, so we're up to Perikov Gimel Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk. Okay, so the story begins with Uvashona Hashviyis, his Chazak Yehoyada, Vayikach Esori Hameos Lazaria. Okay, before we get to those names, it was in the seventh year, meaning that he was hidden for 6 years. Yoyosh was hidden in the Chadar Hamitos, which we learned yesterday either means in some chamber in the vicinity of the Beis Hamikdash where the Kohanim slept, or it means he was in one of the chambers that was right opposite the Kodesh HaKadoshim, above the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or on the side of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he was there for 6 years, and now in the seventh year he already has grown, he's 7 years old, and he's now ready to be king. So what did Yehoyada, who secretly was raising Yoyosh, together with his wife Yehoshavas, they now come together, his chazak, they strengthen themselves, and they plan an elaborate plan to overthrow Atsalia. Yikach, now here we have a list of names. Yehoyada cannot do this on his own. He needed the assistance of the different leaders of Klal Yisrael at this time. And here we have their names. Esori Hameos, he took together with him the heads, the princes of the hundreds. These were military leaders, or these were leaders we'll see from the Kohanim and the Levim. Who were the leaders? Here we're listing the leaders who were in charge of the Esori Hameos. Lazaria ben Yeroichon, Uli Yishmoel ben Yehoichanan, Uli Azaryahu ben Oyveid, Viesma Aseya ben Adoyohu, Viesali Shafat ben Zichri Imay Babu. So then you're five people, and these five people were brought into his inner circle, and he revealed to them what he's planning on doing. He revealed to them that there is indeed a survivor of the Zera of David, Yoyosh. He's hidden with him and his wife in his private place, and he wants to overthrow Atsalia and appoint and anoint this person as the king. Now, what's interesting is that these people are not mentioned in Sefer Melachim. Sefer Melachim, we just learned about the rebellion. There are a lot of differences between the way it's described here in the Sefer Melachim, and there is no mention of these names. And the question is why? Why was it important during the time of Ezra and Nehemiah when they put together Sefer Divrei Hayam to make mention of these specific people who participated in this elaborate rebellion? So the answer given by the Mefarshim really brings out the difference between Sefer Melachim and Sefer Divrei Hayamim. We mentioned this many times. Sefer Melachim is not about David. Sefer Melachim is about Klal Yisrael. In Klal Yisrael, there were many kings. There was the Malchus of Yisrael, Malchus of Yehuda. In the Malchus of Yehuda, there were different kings. Different things happened. The focus is not that the Malchus, the Zera David, was preserved. Sefer Divrei Hayamim is all about David HaMelech. David HaMelech's Zera was about to come to an end. Miraculously, a survivor was found, and he was appointed, and he preserved the Zera of David. So here we're coming to do something that's critical for the preservation of the Zera of David, and we're coming to give credit to those people that were responsible for this happening. Being that's what the theme is. When Sefer Divrei Hayam ends, we must end off that David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. That's what it's all about. So every individual in Tanakh, every person that lived during these periods of time that contributed to ensure that David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam is given credit in Divrei Hayam. That's what it's all about. Whereas Sefer Melachim, it's not about that. That's not the issue. The issue is Klal Yisrael. There are many individuals. There are many events. There are many stories. We're not coming to focus on people who were responsible that David Zera should remain in existence. Now, before we go further, we have to also mention that Yehoyada is viewed in history as a very great hero. Yehoyada, if not for him and his wife Yehoshavas, there would not be a Zera David. It would have come to an end. So he is on the top of the list of significant people in Tanakh who did very great things for Klal Yisrael. Later on, we're going to learn that he died when he was 130 years old. He lived a very long life. He died. He wasn't a kohen. He wasn't for the malchus of Yehuda. He was a kohen, but he was not from the malchus of Yehuda, zer of Yehuda. But he was a kohen. He was a kohen gadol. It does not appear that he was a navi, but he was obviously a very great person. This individual Yehoyada, and he is responsible for the preservation of the Zera of David. Now what's interesting is Seyda Olam says that when was he born? If you make a calculation going through all the different kings from the time of Shlomo, Rechavam, and after Rechavam was, I forget all the kings, that we have Asa, and we have Yehoshaphat, and we have Yehoram, and then we have Azariah, and now we have Yoyash. There are eight kings that, if you count all of their years, the years that they were melech, the result is that Yehoyada spanned all of their lives. And in fact, he was born, Yehoyada already was born in the lifetime of Shlomo.
It was a Yehoshaphat.
What? Yehoyada, no, that, these names, they're always recycled. They're always used by the name. But this individual Yehoyada, there's a Medrash. I don't know where the Medrash is. I'm sorry, I don't have the source for you. But the Medrash, there's a Medrash that says that Yehoyada was born in the lifetime of Shlomo. And in fact, fascinating Medrash is that when Shlomo HaMelech sinned, Hashem always creates the refuah before the Makkah. When Shlomo HaMelech sinned by marrying the daughter of Paro, more specifically, when he tolerated the daughter of Paro, when he allowed her to build a temple for her Avodah Zarah, and Hashem viewed this as a very great sin, and it was decreed at that moment in time that the Malchus of Shlomo would split, and by splitting that would create major complications for Klal Yisrael, which could possibly result that the Malchus of Yisrael would overpower the Malchus of Yehuda and destroy it, which indeed it just about did, because of the sins of the Malchus of Yehuda were overwhelming. They had to come to an end, and being that they married, there was a merger between the two, the sins of the Malchus of Yisrael would have wiped out the Malchus of David. At the moment when this happened, and the Shlomo sinned, and all of these things were put into play, Hashem said, I have to create at this moment in time the antidote to this. And at that moment in time, who was born? Yehoyada. Because Yehoyada would be the one that would save Shlomo from himself. Shlomo sinned. He married Bas Paro, tolerated Avodah Zarah. There was a gzera that his malchus would be cut in half. Worse, his malchus, his zera would be threatened with extinction. At that moment in time, Hashem created the refuah kodem the makkah. Yehoyada was born. He would be the one that would save this infant, Yoyash, hide him in the Beis Hamikdash for 6 years in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And preserve the zera of David. So this is a very significant. That's the significance. He lived a very long time in order to see all of this. Now Yehoyada, not only did he save the life of Yoyash, he also raised him. Raised him not just now for these first 6 years. After he succeeded in having him appointed king, he guided him for many years, I think up to 20 years. And he was still alive for 24 years after he was king. And during those years, he was his chief advisor, and everything that Yoyash did was with his approval and guidance. Only after Yehoyada died did Yoyash turn sour and begin to do some things that were not proper. Okay, so here we have over here the story. We have mentioned over here these people, these five individuals who were participants, who were partners with Yehoyada and Yehoshavas in saving, in deposing Asalia and anointing Yoyash. They're mentioned. He took them the bris and he made them make a shvua that we're going to restore the malchus to machzera Torah liyoshna. Pasuk Beis Vayasovu biYehuda. Now, next thing he did, after making a bris with the leaders, he went and he sent out messengers. He went out, I guess it must have been done in secret. The Atzal should not find out that he is planning a rebellion, planning a coup against him. By Yosovu, by Yosobu Yehuda, he made his rounds in the region of Yehuda. By Yikvitsu es Halvim, I guess this was all done in secret. He went and he spread word to the Levim, Mikol Ara Yehuda, Rashi Havas, Li Yisrael, and all of the leaders, the heads of family in Yisrael. Vayavohu El Yerushalayim, and he had them all brought to Yerushalayim. What did he do? He made a speech. Vayichros Kol HaKohol, Vayichros Kol HaKohol Buris Bevesu Lekim Im HaMelech, Vayom Elohem. So Vayichros means Yehoyada, Kol HaKohol Buris Bevesu Lekim Im HaMelech. Im HaMelech means concerning. Doesn't mean there is no king. The king over here is Asalia. She is the ruling queen. And the king, the Yoyosh, is not yet the king. So here it means concerning the king. They all took an oath. They all forged a covenant. The leaders of Klal Yisrael im haMelech concerning the new Melech that they're going to anoint. Vayom Elohem Yehoyada said to them, Hinei then haMelech Yimloch. We're going to pull this off. We're going to succeed. We're going to get rid of Asalia and the son of the king Yimloch, meaning the son of Azaryahu. Azaryahu is dead. We're going to appoint Yimloch. He will be king. Kasher Diber Hashem al Bnei David, to fulfill the promise Hashem made to David, that David, in reward for building the Beis Hamikdash, it will never cease to exist the Zera of David HaMelech. Period. Now he goes on and he gives out the details of the plan. I guess it was confidential. Only the people that needed to know knew the information that he's about to present, exactly how they're going to pull this off. They're going to do it, first of all, it's going to be done on Shabbos. On Shabbos, those of the Mefarshim say the reason why he chose to go through with the plan on Shabbos is the zuchus of Shabbos should be a merit for Klal Yisrael. Everything he was doing was l'shem Shemayim, and he needed all the zuchus impossible. The zuchus of Shabbos should allow him to succeed. For a practical reason why he did it on Shabbos, two reasons. Number one, on Shabbos there are more Levim on Kohanim, because Shabbos is the changing of the guard. On Shabbos the Mishmaros change, so there's a double amount of Kohanim and Levim present in the Beis Hamikdash, because the outgoing Mishmar does the Avodah in the morning and then they leave, and the incoming Mishmar for the next week enters. The Levim is the same. The Levim, they would divide the 24 Mishmaros. The outgoing Mishmar performs in the morning and they leave, and the incoming Mishmar takes over in the afternoon. So you have on site in the Beis Hamikdash a double amount of Kohanim and Levim. And all of the Kohanim and Levim seemingly were with the program. They were recruited, they all were part of this conspiracy to depose Asalia and to anoint Yoash.
So arouse suspicion with the
exactly.
So, many.
So he was able to gather double number of people to participate and assist in pulling this off. That's one practical reason why it was done on Shabbos. Another practical reason why it was done on Shabbos, because there are no outsiders allowed in the Beis Hamikdash on Shabbos. During the week, anyone can come to the Beis Hamikdash. Everyone's entitled to come to the Beis Hamikdash. Anyone who has private obligations, nedarim, nedavos, if a person needs to bring a carbon chatos, anyone can walk in. There can be spies. There can be members of the camp of Asalia present in the Beis Hamikdash seeing what's going on. There's about to be a conspiracy, a coup, and they're going to defend her. They're going to do something to assist. But on Shabbos, no one's allowed to be there. Because Shabbos, no one's allowed to be there. It's not necessary for anyone to be there, because you don't bring private korbanos on Shabbos. The only korban you bring on Shabbos are the musafim of Shabbos and the tmidim, which are brought and offered only by the kohanim. So you limit access to the mikdash to outsiders. Everyone that will be present will be an insider and will be able to succeed in pulling this off. So again, three reasons. Number one, the kiddush of Shabbos shall serve as a zchus to restore the zera of David to its rightful place, and we have double of the amount of kohanim and levim present to assist, and we have an excuse to shut out anyone that does not belong here because they have no business being here in the mikdash. We will be able to weed out people that are suspect. Now these two are a bit complex. There are different ways to interpret these psukim, and it's easier if you look at the psukim in Malachim and see how it's explained there to shed light on what the psukim really mean over here. But let's really read the words first simply. So the boy hashabbos means the new mishmar, the mishmar that is entering. Now that is entering. Meaning the new mishmar, the mishmar that's going to come for the following week. So only ashlishes mikem bohi hashabbos of those that are entering lakoyhanim v'laleviim, they shall stand by l'sho arei hasipim. A third. Now I'm just going to translate the words very loosely because it's a little complicated and the mitzudos is not perfectly clear, but basically he's going to take the group, one group, and he's going to divide them into three parts. And one third of this group, who we're calling now the Bohi HaShabbos, the new group who's planning to come and enter this week, will stand guard by the gate of the threshold. Now, it's not exactly clear which gate this is. There were many gates. We know there were seven gates leading into the Azara. One of the gates was called the gate of the threshold. That's where they shall stand guard. Make sure no one from the camp of Asaliah should enter. V'hashlishis b'beis hamelech. The second third shall stand guard in the house of the king. Similarly, this means where the king Yoyash was being guarded. Yoyash lived in the Beis Hamikdash, but at this moment in time, it seems like they put him in the king's palace. A third of the Levim shall, and the Kohanim and the Levim shall stand guard in the place where the king Yoyash, the 7-year-old boy, is stationed. V'hashlishis, and the third shall stand guard b'shar ha'yisoid, in the gate of the foundation. In Sefer Melachim, it says Bishar Hasur, not Yisod. Bishar Hasur. So you'll simply say, what's the difference? There's a Dal and a Resh. A Dal and the Resh are the two easiest letters, which is it's very easy to make a mistake. When the printer, you write it out by hand, the only difference between a Dal and a Resh, a teeny little macroscopic piece of ink on the top right of the letter. However, the Chazal don't say there's a mistake. This gate had seven names. Among the seven names was the Shar HaYisod and the Shar HaSur. It was called the Shar HaSur because if a Kohen became Tameh, it was through this exit he was told to leave. Sur means depart, leave. It was also called the Shar of the Foundation because that's the entrance. This was the basic entrance. It was on the east side, and this is where you come into the Beis Hamikdash. You always come in from the part that was considered to be the foundation. There's a drush that's said by, I don't know if it's the Medrash or it's the Farshim say this, is the reason why these two go together, Shar HaSur and Shar HaYisod, is to teach us that the foundation of holiness is to distance yourself from Tumah. If a person wants to become holy, you want to come into the Beis Hamikdash, you want to achieve a spiritual state of holiness, the first thing is stay away from things which will cause you to become contaminated. So the Yisod, the foundation of Kedusha, is Sur Meira. Distance yourself from evil. That's why these two.
The Eastern Shah was the way they went to the Sreifas HaTorah.
Okay, there are many things that was used for.
You said they come in. The entrance was from the south.
The entrance, well, the Shah Nikonor was on the east. So
that was to the Azar.
So we do see that to a certain degree. That's where the Ezes Noshim was. You come to the Ezes Noshim. They come to the Har HaBayis maybe from the south, but they walk around into the actual Azara through the east. So they come into the south, then they walk around. Okay, so there are different gates, but these two are the same. What it says in Malachim is the Shar HaSur, here it's Shar HaYisot, the Drushes, the foundation of holiness is Sur Meira. And we're having here a third of the Kohanim and Levim are stationed in this location to protect the king. The Chol Ha'om.
My mother's from the
It doesn't say that. Interestingly, the Mamados could be was a later enactment. The Mamados that we have to have representatives of Klal Yisrael present as Mispalel when the Korbanos are being offered and they're divided into a whole Klal Yisrael is divided into 24 Mishmaros, similar to the Kohanim and Levim, appears to have been later enactment and did not exist at this point in time. We have it in the Mishnah. The Mamados, but it appears that it was not organized the way that we know it today. So we have here three. If we read the Pesukim at face value, okay, it's not really the way it appears. The way it appears in Sefer Melachim, but here at face value, we have here all of the Kohanim and Levim are being divided into three groups. But if we read very carefully, it only says they're being divided into three groups among those who are from the Bohei HaShabbos. We're taking here the group of Kohanim and Levim that are scheduled to arrive the following week, the incoming group, and we're dividing them into three groups. One third is going to stand in the Shar HaSapim, the Sha'arei, there are multiple gates of the threshold, one of the main gates, and another third to guard the king, and another third to stand by the eastern gate, which we're calling here the Shar HaYisod. And then it says V'chol Ha'am. Remember that Yehoyada, he went out to the Rosh HaAvos. There were many Yisraelim who were also in on the plan, and they were present with their followers, and they were to stand in the courtyard, B'chatzros Beis Hashem, in one of the courtyards outside the Beis HaMikdash, to make sure everything goes according to plan. Then he says, V'al Yavo Beis Hashem, he gave very clear instructions, there are no tourists allowed to enter the Mikdash on Shabbos. Today, the Mikdash is closed. Only thing that goes on today are the korbanos that are offered by the kohanim. No one and the musafim. No one's allowed to come today. The al yavo beis Hashem ki im hakohanim v'amisharsim la'levim and the misharsim for the levim. I guess those that would assist the levim. Heima yavohu, they will come ki kodesh because they are holy and they have a right to be here. They have a job to do. Heima they v'chol am they and all of the people. Heima yavohu ki kodesh heima they are holy. V'chol am yishmu mishmeres Hashem. And all the people shall guard the mishmar, the mishmeres Hashem, the charge of Hashem, meaning everyone shall do what their assigned task. There are a lot of details that are not being mentioned. Everyone was given a very specific task, what to do to make sure everything goes according to plan, and everyone should keep what they're supposed to do to make sure that we succeed. Pasuk Zayin. Then he says, we're going to bring out the king. We're going to bring out the 7-year-old boy, and he's going to be surrounded by the Levim. The Kifu HaLevim Es HaMelech Saviv, the Levim will surround the Melech all around. Ish V'chela V'yadu, each soldier, each Levi will be holding a weapon in his hand. That's a very shocking thing to say, because first of all, we have a halach in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to bring a weapon into a Beis HaKnesses. Everyone knows that. You're not allowed to go to Texas. So in Texas, everyone has a gun. So they have there yes, people there who live there. They have in the lobby, most Orthodox shuls, a place where you put your weapon.
It is done in Israel, by the way.
Israel security, they're much more lenient in Israel because of security reasons. You take you take your weapon into the Beis HaKnesses. Well, that's sakana. If you have a weapon only as in Texas, out in the Midwest, it's not a sakana. You don't need to have a weapon when you go into the Beis HaKnesses. You have a weapon because that's part of your levush. That's part of you wear a tie, you wear a cowboy hat, you have a holster with a gun. Are you going to actually shoot someone? Maybe. Maybe for fun. But not out of self-defense. What?
If he takes an Aliyah away from
him. for fun, but not necessarily for self-defense. Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, the situation is different. And there is security reasons, you have no choice. The Rabbanim Paskin, in many situations, you have to carry weapons in the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, but there is such a thing that you're not allowed to bring a weapon into a holy makom. Here, it's interesting, here we are in the base, HaMikdash itself, the king is being brought, they have no choice, they must carry weapons. Harasha, and also it's Shabbos. So weapons, L'chaira Moksa, I mean, Moksa, whatever, but it's not exactly Shabbistic to carry weapons, but we have no choice, it's Harasha, it's the only way we can bring about, we can succeed, Harasha, and we have no choice, and it was necessary.
Ish.
No, no. Kalev is a reference. It's clear from the Mefarshim. Kalev is a reference for weapons. They came out with. Look in Mitzudos David. Pasuk Zayin. They have clay Zayino. It means the weapons. Ish v'chelav biyada v'haba. El Habayis Himas. He made it very clear. Anyone that comes into the base of the Shimas shall be executed. Anyone that comes into the Beis HaMikdash that legally without a special pass, you must, everyone is suspect. We're not going to take any risks. There was clear instructions. Anyone that comes in that's not authorized shall be put to death. The Yehu es HaMelech Bevo V'tseso, and the Levim shall surround the king when he comes in, and when he exits he shall be fully surrounded, be protected during this critical moment in time. They listened, whatever was commanded they done. Each person who was in charge took his followers, boy Hashabbos, to those the Mishmar that arrived in Yotzei Hashabbos. Notice that until now there was no mention of the people of the Yotzei Hashabbos. We just mentioned about the three different groups who were the boy Hashabbos. Here we're mentioning now the people that are the Yotzei Hashabbos. Seemingly the reason why, if you learn very on a very similar level, the really looking more into the Mefarshim, looking at what it says in Sefer Melachim, the reason why he did not get involved with the boy, the Yotzei Hashabbos, is because they were busy. This event took place early in the morning when the Yotzei Hashabbos were still on duty. The people who were part of what?
Lav Davka. He took the whole Nichnas and he put them at the Sharon.
He divided them up into three groups.
Right, but the ones who walked around with the king were the ones who were already.
Doesn't say that.
If it says those coming in were all at the three Sharon. So you have already the total amount of the
nichnas. Already used up. So the ones that are going to surround him, maybe. Okay, it's not clear. There are many approaches to understand what's going on. But just interesting to note that in the beginning, those three psukim we dvar the 3 days. It only says the word boya Shabbos, and here it says all of a sudden suddenly it says vayaslim chol yidu chalashet tivay yodbe gan vigulish as anashad boya Shabbos. Each man took his people, the boya Shabbos, the people that are coming im yoytzeh Shabbos for the very first time. The yoytzeh Shabbos ki loyfata yahayoda hakoyin es hamachlokos. Now, this is also very, very, very cryptic. What does it mean here? The reason why they were there, the Yotzei HaShabbos, he did not let them go home. It seems that in order to leave, you're not allowed to leave the Mikdash until the person in charge gives you permission. He did not give the people, the Yotzei HaShabbos, permission to leave. I mean, what's the Chiddush? It says at the beginning of the Pasuk that they all were in on the plan. They're all going to go stand guard in certain locations. It could be there were more. It could be with the deeper meaning of the Pasuk is that only select group of people were put in different strategic positions, but there were people there that did not even know what was going on. Not everyone was in on the secret, and those people who were not in on the secret, who were from the previous week, would normally at this point in time leave. They would leave, they would go home. And here Yehoyada said, no one's going home so fast today. Even though you finish your duty, you're not allowed to leave. You have to remain here on site, because maybe he didn't want the doors to be open, maybe he wanted there to be more people present. He assumed that they would be loyal when they found out what was exactly about to happen, and he wanted every person he can get hold of to remain there. But he did not exempt the divisions, the machlokos, another word for the mishmaros, from leaving. He did not let them go home. They had to remain present. Pasuk tes. He gave out weapons, more weapons. He gave to the leaders of the meos, es hachanisim, spears, the es hamoginos, shields, the es hashalotim. Shalotim is another type of shield. These are different types of, Rashi just says, ke'ein niginim. And the Mitzvah says another type of shield. Asher lamelech David, these were made by David HaMelech. David made gold shields. David made all of these things in preparation for the Beis HaMikdash, and they were put in storage. They were all stored there, lemelech David. They were all now taken, asher bebeis holakim, they were taken out, and they were given to these people to serve as weapons to protect them from Asalia's army. When Asalia would find out what's going on, she would obviously call all her loyal subjects to her defense and to squash the rebellion. So they needed protection. There's a medrash, doesn't appear here in this, in the Melachim, there's in other words which make it more explicit. They took out the spear of Goliath. When David killed Goliath, David David shot a stone. Remember, David went to fight Goliath, the Philistine, and he shot a stone into his head. Goliath died. Goliath had this massive spear, and it was symbolic. And I guess it was like a museum piece. It was put away in the Beis Hamikdash. One of the chambers was on display. They took out this spear and they gave it to one of the leaders, the Sari Haneos, to hold. Not so much that it should be a weapon that would be used, but it should be a zuchus. It should be a zuchus that here David was zeichet to become melech in the zuchus. He was meiser nefesh. David went out to fight Goliath. At that point in time, he was just a weapon carrier of Shaul. He went out without any armor, and he went out to fight Goliath with his koyach of tefillah of kedusha. And Hashem should remember the zuchus of David to restore his descendants to the rightful place, to malchus. So that's what it says over here. Vayitin Yehoyada Kohen L'Hashem Meres Asar Chanisim V'Yasar Maginus V'Yasar Shalich V'Yasar Shalomel Tov V'Yasar Asher V'Yasar Asher. So that was what was taken out. Fine. Pasuk Yud. Vayamenes Kol Ha'am V'Ish Shulcha V'Yado. He positioned all the people, and each person, everyone put in position. V'Ish Shulcho V'Yado. Shulcho is another word for a weapon. Every person, there are a lot of repetition. That's what's so confusing. These words repeat themselves, and the ideas repeat themselves. And there's a lot more going on between the lines, which I don't know. But we had already before, they had in the possession kalev, their utensils. And here it says another word, shilcho, which is a word which you send forth. You take out a sword, you send it, you extend it from its sheath. That's a reference to a weapon, miyado, mikesef habayis hayimonis, from the side, the right side, ad kesef habayis hasmolis, to the left side. La mizbeach, v'laboyis, on the sides of the mizbeach and of the bayis, referring to the heichol in the Azara, ad hamelech sav, until where the melech was standing. The melech was positioned at some point in the Azara, and he was completely surrounded by these soldiers, by the Kohanim and the Levim. And now he makes his appearance. Pasuk Yud Aleph, vayotziu es ben hamelech. They take him out, vayidnu lo es hanezev yesoidus, and they put upon him, they coronate him. They put upon him the crown and the edus. What is the crown? So we'll see it a little bit later. The nezer was a special crown that David conquered from Ammon, the nation of Ammon. And this was a magical crown. It had a certain groove. The descendants of David had a certain groove in their head which perfectly fit, was aligned with the crown. And the Gemara says anyone that was a... that was an imposter, would not, the crown would not fit upon. And that Adoniyah ben Chagis, he had this problem. Adoniyah ben Chagis, who wanted to take over the Malchus after David, instead of Shlomo, he was always trying to fit the crown on his head, but it didn't go, because his head did not have that magical groove where it would allow the crown to rest, so they didn't have... So he had that problem. That was very disturbing to him. Shlomo, on the other hand, did have that groove in his head, so the crown fit perfectly. So here, Yoyash also had that groove in his head, so the crown fit perfectly. What? He was a 7-year-old boy. Okay, I don't know. Some say the crown was so heavy, it was more symbolic, it was not possible to really fit. It was suspended by a magnet. So some want to take these two words, and they take the Nazir and the Edus go together. Simply, there were two things. There's Nazir and Edus. However, the crown was testimony that the person that wears it is Rohi Lamalchus. The fact that the crown fits on their head shows that he is a true descendant of David. Because if you don't have David's DNA, it's not going to fit. It's just not going to fit. So the fact that the crown fit perfectly on this 7-year-old boy, Yoash, indicated that he indeed, this is Edus, that he is a descendant of David. That is one more midrashic approach. Another approach is the Nazir is the crown. The Edus is the Sefer Torah. A melech has to have a Sefer Torah on his, tied to his arm. The Karubo Kol Yimei Chayav, Mantil Mad Liyira. So the Torah is Edus. Edus v'hachukim v'hameshpatim. So the part of the ceremony, so if you think about it, it's a beautiful ceremony. Part of the ceremony of appointing a new king is, you know, they pour oil on his head, they anoint him in a special direction, how they put the oil, they put the crown, and they tie a Sefer Torah to his arm. See, today when they have ceremony, what do? You hood someone. Go to the graduation, they put a hood. They put on a special clothing. But it's more than that when it comes to a melech. The climax is putting the Sefer Torah on his arm. Vayamlichu oso, they appointed him melech, vayimshachuhu, Yehoyada uvanav, Yehoyada anointed him with oil. A melech, a son of the king, does not normally need to be have meshicha. We know that. Meshicha is only required by kohanim gedolim. There's no need to do meshicha by kings. However, when we have a machlekes, whenever there's a dispute in the family, who should be the next king, then it's required that there be meshicha with the Shemen HaMishcha. Who had meshicha? Shlomo. Why? Because of the dispute with Adoniyah ben Chagis. Adoniyah ben Chagis, he wanted to be king, so therefore, to show that he's going to be the king, we had no choice. Shlomo had to have Shemen HaMishcha here as well. What?
Shaul had it.
Well, Shaul was the first. The first king requires anointment, but after the first king, then his descendants do not require Mashiach. David was also the first king because he was the end. It was not a son. David was not the son of Shaul. It was a new line. He was from Sheva Yehuda. Shaul was from Sheva Binyamin. So it was a new line of Malchus that required Mashiach. But David's children do not make or had to require Mashiach unless there's a machlekes. There's a dispute. Then you need Mashiach. Here, Asali was queen. She did not want to allow him to be king. Obviously, that's why he did require Mashiach by Yehoyada. Now, here's something very, very interesting. It says, Vayamlichu oiso, Vayimshachu, Yehoyada, Uvanav, his sons. Why do we need Yehoyada's sons to participate in this ceremony? We have Yehoyada, he was the Kohen Gadol. So the Mefarshim say an amazing insight. Who was the son of Yehoyada? Zechariah, the famous Zechariah that we learn about on Tisha B'Av, who was murdered by this very person, Yoyash. He participated in the anointment. Why was he necessary? Why did he need to be there? So Chazal said, when you appoint a new king, he has to be appointed, the Rambam says, by a Navi as well. A Navi must participate in the anointment of the king of David. And Yehoyada, the son, was greater than the father in this respect, that Zechariah was a Navi. Nowhere do we find that Yehoyada was a Navi. Yehoyada was a very great person. He was the Kohen Gadol, and he gets credit for preserving the Zera of David. But Yehoyada was not a Navi. But Yehoyada was Zoyche. There he had a son, Zechariah, who was a Navi. So he called his son to participate in the ceremony so that the new king should be anointed not just by the Kohen Gadol, but by a prophet. That's why he mentions here Uvanav, among his children, included Zechariah the Navi. Vayomru, and they said Yichi HaMelech. Interesting, the Targum does not say long live the king. Right? Isn't that how we translate it in English? Long live the king. Look what it says in the Targum, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Successful. V'yamaru Yitzlach Malka V'malchuse. May he be successful.
But he also says that the Targum,
I didn't notice that. Let me see the Targum. Let's see Pasuk Yidal. Let's go back to Pasuk Yidal. Long Pasuk. Okay, let's take a look. Pasuk Yidalif V'apiku Yos Berad Malka. They took out the son of the king. V'yhovu Aloy Yas Kolila the Malchusa. Di Devar David of David. Me'al Resha, the Malka, the Bnei Amon, this was a special crown that David captured from Bnei Amon, Uvo Evin Tova, and there's a special stone, Vishaiva, Dihave Chakik, Umifarash, Allah Shmo Rabba, Vikora, Dikvoha, Tamon David Beruch Kudsha. It was etched on this stone, the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vave Timin Dido, and its weight, Miskal Kintenar Dithava, it weighed an enormous amount. It was extremely heavy. This stone that was set in the crown, which had upon it, which were etched into the Shem Hashem, was made from gold, was extremely heavy. Anyone that's not a descendant, a blood descendant of David, do not, and that person who was not a blood descendant would not be able to bear this crown. When everyone saw the iskabolus al reisha, the hayosh, when they saw that Yoyosh's head fit the crown, the soiver yas kalila hemnu, the soiver yas kalila hemnu.
He held it.
Hemnu the mizari de David, who they right away had faith that he indeed was the zerah of the children of David. Umin yad. And right away, Amlichu Yosei, they anointed him, they made him king, Verabihu Yosei Yehoyadu V'nohi V'amoru, and Yehoyadu came forth, and they said, Yitzlach Malka V'malchusei. So everyone knew he was not an imposter. I guess people would have been suspicious. It's already been 6 years since the last time they saw a descendant of David. People got used to the fact that David's over. That was history. No more David. And now when they see here, so they told there's a 7-year-old boy. Who says, I don't believe you. But when they saw that the crown fit on his head, they had full faith that indeed this is the child of Zerah, the descendant of David. And they anointed him. And they said, may the king be successful. So wherever you hear, you ever go listen to the Goyim say, long live the king. So that's not accurate according to the Targum. Targum does not translate Yechid to mean live. It translates it to mean be successful. Vatishma Salya Eskola Amaratzim. Now Asalya, she heard what's going on. She heard all these loud sounds. Ha'am, the people Haratzim, the runners, the people that were running around. What were they running? I don't know. Maybe they were running to send messages to Klal Yisrael. Ve'hamehalalim es hamelech, and the people that were praising the king. Vatavoy el ha'am beis Hashem. So she came, so she entered. When she heard what was going on, all the commotion, so she wanted to see what was going on, and she entered into the Beis HaMikdash, she entered into the Azara. Vatera, and she saw Vihine HaMelech Oymed Al Amudo, the king was standing on his position, Bamavo means in the opening. He was standing in the
empty chamber.
Okay, in the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, the Hasarim, the Hachat Tzitzrois Al HaMelech, and there were princes, and people were blowing trumpets along the side of the king, the Chol Am Aretz Sameach, and everyone was rejoicing, the Seikea, the Hachat Tzitzrois, and they were blowing the trumpets, the Hamisharim, the Chle Hashir, and they were playing musical instruments. So on Shabbos, it's very interesting, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to play musical instruments. Only thing you're allowed to do is for the Avoda, when the Levim, they do Shir, that's Gzeres HaKosov. So when you bring a Korban, the Levim play Shir. But ordinary to play Shir, you're generally not allowed to play musical instruments on Shabbos. Why? It's a Gzera. You may come to fix. You may come to Misakin. So you'll give an answer that in the Beis HaMikdash there's no Shavus. There's such a concept that in the Beis HaMikdash there are no Derabanans. The only time we have Dinim Derabanan, Chumrus, Gzera is only outside the Beis HaMikdash. But in the Beis HaMikdash itself, there's no such thing as a Din, a Shavus. That's not so simple. That's only when it's necessary for the Avoda. But when it comes to things that are not part of the Avoda, even in the Beis HaMikdash, we do have different Takanas Derabanan. So we have to say either that it was before the time of the Takana, that's why they were playing musical instruments, and that would mean that even outside of the Beis HaMikdash there was no prohibition to play musical instruments at this point in time, or it was a Hayra Hashah in order to appoint a new king. That's what's necessary. There should be a Simcha at the time when he is appointed, and that's why they were permitted to sing and play musical instruments at this point in time. Now when Asalya saw what was going on, what did she do? Vatikra Asalya Spigodeha. And they were making known. Modi means they were publicizing the fact that we have a new king and people should celebrate. The list has the Mitzudas translate those words. Pasik no Mitzudas Pasik Gimel. Okay, Modi, they were informing people of what was taking place and they were giving praise. Vatikra Asalya Spigodeha. So in frustration, she ripped her clothing. Vatomer, and she said, Kesher kosher, conspiracy, merit. There is a rebellion, there is a conspiracy, there was a coup. She was calling for help. This was the code. Like she got on her walkie-talkie and she said, security, 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 get them out of here. Kesher kosher. It didn't work though. They cut off her communication lines. Okay, they jammed all of the cell phone signals in Yerushalayim. That was part of the plot. It was down. The cell phones were not working. There was no signal. Can you hear me now? It didn't work. grid was not operational at this moment in time. What happened at this point in time? So now at this point in time, Yehoyada HaKoyne, he takes out the Sarah Meiras, Pekudei HaChayil, the officers. He now brings forth the military. So we had over here the Ledim, the Koyam, the Ledim, they were standing guard. Now brings forth the military, the Pekudei HaChayil, the officers of the army, Vayim Aleim, Chod Tziyua, El Nibes HaSer Deiros. Take her out of the place of arrangements. The word hasederos is a very unusual word. The Targum and the Mitzudos, they said that you should change the sin with a samach. If you were to exchange those two letters, then you would not have much difficulty, because then it's seder. Hasederos, Lashon seder, the arrangements. Take her out of the base and the place where everything is arranged. That is a very interesting concept, that in the Beis HaMikdash everything is mesudar, everything is al mekaymoy, on its place, orderly. Take her out of the arrangements, the order of what is taking place, the people, the officers, have her leave. V'haba achanecha yumas bechav. Anyone that enters shall be executed. Anyone that tries to save her, she's calling for assistance. Anyone that comes to assistance, obviously, is from the other side. Have them immediately killed by sword. Ki amar hakoyin. Why was Yehoyada quick to have her leave? Had to leave right away because they were afraid that she would put up a fight here in the Beis HaMikdash, or people will come to her defense here in the Beis HaMikdash, and a war would break out in the Mikdash itself, and that would lead to her death. Ki amar hakoyin lo simis. They did not want her to die in the Beis Hashem. Now, what's very confusing, the first, let's take a go back one step. It says here in the back, Pasuk Gimel, that there was a very great degree of rejoicing. Question is why? Why does there have to be so much joy at this point? And right now, we just have to get the message out that we have a new king, Yechi HaMelech, we have deposed Asalia, and we have a new king. Why was it necessary that there be Simcha at the time of appointment? So obviously, I don't know the answer, but obviously there must be, but we do find the same idea in the Haftorah, in the Bracha, that we make every Shabbos after we conclude the Haftorah. Samcheinu Hashem Elokeinu Be'elyon Avodecha V'malchus V'malchus Beis David Mashiachecha. When we refer to the Malchus, the restoration of the Malchus of David, the request is it should be B'simcha Samcheinu. So where does that come from? To some degree it comes from here. We see here when here there was no Malchus of David. David's Malchus came to an end. There was a vacuum for 6 years. Asal, who was a descendant of the Malchus of Yisrael, was calling the shots. Now, after 6 years, it's been restored. And it was restored in a state of Simcha, of Halal V'Hoida. And we remind ourselves of that every Shabbos when we recite the Bracha in the Haftorah. The Haftorah is words of Nevuah. Nevuah, a lot of it has to do with David, but we mention it Be'elyo HaNavi Avdecha Uve Malchus Beis David Mashiachecha. Okay, the next thing it says over here is that he was very machmir to take her out, that she should not die in the Beis HaMikdash. Why did he not command that she be killed right here and now? So you'll answer, we don't want to contaminate the Beis HaMikdash. If we're going to execute Asalia here in the Mikdash itself, there will be Tumas Meis. Things will become Tame. So we want to get rid of her. But that's not a good reason, because Yehoyada made it very clear. That's another question. How are you allowed to kill someone on Shabbos? They anyway killed her on Shabbos. They took her out and they killed her immediately. But Asalia was not concerned about Tumma in the Mikdash in this situation, because he gave very clear instructions at least twice. Anyone that comes to her aid, or anyone that enters the Mikdash unauthorized, shall be executed on the spot. Oh, but you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you're in the Mokoyim HaShchina, the Machane HaShchina, how can you go kill, bring Tumah, allow Tumah, bring about Tumah? The answer is, Hayra Shah, we have no choice. It's a difficult situation, Pikuach Nefesh, we have no choice. So the aim, Dav Amufim Pikuach Nefesh. The same way we're so concerned for this, Pikuach Nefesh, for Tumah, we overlook the laws of Tumah. Why, when it comes to Asalia, are we so concerned that she should remain alive until she leaves the Machane Shechina? So the answer given in Sefer Melachim, it says the same thing there, is to connect that to what it says in the Sugyim Sechta Sota. In the Sechta Sota, when they gave the Sota, the Mayim Hamorim, to drink, if her stomach began to swell, so it was an indication that she was guilty. A woman was unfaithful, was a suspect of being unfaithful to her husband. She was brought to the Beis HaMikdash. She was given the Mayim HaMa'orim, and the Kohen read the Klolos from Parsha Sota, and then they watched what happened. if she was innocent, she would be blessed and she would become pregnant and have children. If she was guilty, her stomach would swell and she would die a miserable death. Now, it didn't necessarily mean, didn't mean that she died instantly. It could mean that she would die over a period of time. But Bizman She Yisrael Oisim Ritzon Shel Mokom, when Shai Yisrael was on a very high spiritual level, a woman that was guilty would die instantly. They would give her the water to drink, and suddenly her stomach would swell and she would die. And when they saw Siman that she was about to die, it says in the Gemara, they would very quickly take her out. And they would scream out, get rid of her, we don't want her to die here in the Azara. Seemingly, we don't want there to be Tumas Mace in the Azara. However, the Mefarshim there say that's not the Ikar. The reason why they're concerned is because there's a more severe type of Tumah. And that's Tumas Nida. Fascinating insight. There's Tumas Mace and there's Tumas Nida. Now in the Azor itself there's no difference. No, you're not allowed, there's no one who's contaminated is allowed to be present. But Al Me'ikar Hadin, when you go to Machane Leviya is the Ezras Noshim, the Har Habayis, the entire area outside the Azar, but within the Har Habayis, in Halach is called Machane Leviya. In Machane Leviya, a Tomei Mace is allowed to enter, according to the Torah. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to be there either, but Midrabanan, a Tomei Mace is permitted. Even the Mace is allowed to be in Machane Leviya. Where we learn from Yikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef Imo, this week's Parsha, perfectly, Yad Yoma. Vayikach Moshe's Atzmos Yosef Imo. Where was Moshe? Moshe was in Machane Leviya. And who did Moshe have with him? He had the Atzmos Yosef, Tomei Mace. So a Tomei Mace is allowed to be in Machane Leviya. But here's the Chiddush: a Nida and a Zav and a Zav is not allowed to be in Machane Leviya. A woman who's Tomei, a Tuma Hayotze Megufay. A tumah that comes from yourself. Tumas mace is not from yourself. You came in contact with the dead. That's a lighter form of tumah relative to tumas nida. So that's why he was more machmer with her than he was with killing a person. Because there's a tradition that when a person is terrified, their body gives out. A man, when he is in a state of terror, can become a balkeri. He's not in control of his body. There's a reflex where it causes even a small amount of keri to be emitted from his body. A woman who is in a state of terror becomes a nida, even though she's not her. It's not her time. It's not part of her cycle. That's what it says by Esther. Vatechalchal hamalka me'ot. That Esther, when she came to Achashverosh, she was terrified. Vatechalchal. What a chazal darshan on the word. I think Rashi brings down the pasuk. Vatischalchal hamalka me'ot. She was terrified. Rashi there says sheparsa nida. She became a nida, terror. Here, Asalia is aware she is in the Beis HaMikdash, even more. Let's say they took her out of the Azar itself, they took her out of the Ezras Noshim. She's in the Har Habayis. She's in the Har Habayis, and now she is aware that she is about to be killed because she sees they found Yoash. They found her worst nightmare came true. She tried to kill all of the descendants of David to take over the Malchus for herself and for her future descendants, whatever that means. And now she realized she missed one child. There's a 7-year-old boy who's now being the new king, and that means her end is near. Vatischalchal. She is in a state of terror. And what's going to happen to her? Sheparsa nida. She'll become a nida. And Tumas nida is more chomor than Tumas meis. Therefore, Yehoyada said when it comes to Tumas meis, listen, right now it's a shas hatchak. Right now it's Hayrasha. Meikar Hadin, we can kill everyone. It doesn't really make a difference. But if we have some room to wiggle, so then we should be more nizer in getting her out of here than in killing people. Because killing someone, there's no Tumas Nida. But she will become a Nida, therefore we want her to leave here as soon as possible before she becomes a Nida. Yeah.
Yeah.
A mace is aviavos, correct.
What is
Anida is an avatum. That is correct. So here it's you're asking a good question.
That's like Gabi Tamer Acherim, but what you're saying is
Tuma Hayotze Migufo. It's true. You're saying it's true. As far as the order, the hierarchy, Avi Avos is the worst of the worst. But yet there is a chumrah in Tumas Nida, Tumas Zav.
Nida needs the
Harav
Shemesh, right?
A Nida needs Harav Shemesh, and yeah. Tumas Mes also needs.
But as soon as you wasn't in the Tama anymore.
Yeah, but
they used the guy who was Mashmit, they made him Tama on purpose, I think, right?
Right, okay. Yeah, okay, I'm not familiar.
Like by Korban Pesach,
yeah.
You have a problem. They were the ones who were, they took out Nazar Abihu, Sashay, yeah. And others. Course, they were Aliyah Voice of Tumas.
Right.
But if it had been a Tumas Nida, they would have not had a major problem.
Just the opposite.
No, which I was just saying, in one respect, there's a halacha. Someone who's Tamei Mace, the Mace itself is Avi Avos. But the people, okay, I hear your question. I don't have a good answer. Each one has its unique chumras. Avi Avos, a mace obviously has the higher madrega of Avi Avos. It can contaminate more things. But there is a degree of stringency in a tuma hayotze migufo more than tumas mace. And that, to some degree, is illustrated here, where he's being makbid that she should leave before she dies. And he's not being, Yahyada is not as makbid when it comes to other people that will come to her defense if they'll be killed on the spot. Oh, but if you'll kill them on the spot, they'll be avi avos atoma, right here on the spot. That's true. But it would be even worse if we would allow this woman to remain here. To remain here for a few more moments, because she will become a nida in her state of fear. This is one of the reasons why a person has tahara after meyaviyash, when a person dies, so they the chaver kadisha puts the body in the mikvah. Why? Your question isn't a good question. What are you putting the body in the mikvah? The person is avi avos atuma, right? So what are you accomplishing? You're taking the sheretz, so you're putting the sheretz, the sheretz viado. The body is avi avos atuma. So the answer is, one of the reasons given is, there are different types of tuma. It's true, the person himself is avi avos tuma. But the person also has a tuma hayotze migufo. And Mefarshim said that when the person realizes, sees the malach hamoves, the pachar of misa causes, to some degree, a tuma hayotze migufo. Causes a person can have a carry. We don't know what this means exactly, but when a person is in a matzav where he sees the malach hamavis is coming, there is a tuma hayotze megufoi, which is not the same as tuma sanes, and it's for that tuma hayotze megufo the chaver kadisha immerses the body in a mikvah before kavura. It's not going to wear the tuma savi avos atuma, but it does take away from the guf the tuma hayotze megufo that existed in his body either b'shas misa or even before misa. So there are different madregos of tuma, and that's why he's more makbid here to remove it. Let's finish with the psukim. So it says over here, "Vayichros." That's what they said. Make sure take her out. Ki amar hakoyim lo simisua bebeis Hashem. Do not kill her in the Beis Hashem, because if she's going to realize that she's about to be killed in the Beis Hashem, she will become a nida, and we don't want that tuma to be here. Pasik tezvav vayasimu lo yodayim. They set for her a yad. The yod tihi alcho michutz lamachane. Yod means a location, like yod v'shem. V'nasati b'veisi uv'chol masai. Yod v'shem. Yod means a mokom, a place. So they appointed, they made for her a special place, a place to kill her. Vayosimu lo yodayim, a location. Vatovo el movo shar hasusim. They brought her to the entrance of the gate of the horses of the Beis Hamelech. Vayimisuhu sham, and they killed her there. Why in the Beis Hasusim? So Chazal said, because she behaved like a horse. A horse is shot off in Zima. A horse is a Zimras Susim Zimrasam. Asalia was a Zona. She She promoted Znus in Klal Yisrael, and therefore she was punished in the Shar of Susa Mida Keneged Mida. Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayichos Yehoyada Bris Beino Uvein Kol Am Uvein HaMelech. He then forged a covenant between him and all the people of Ben HaMelech, and between the king of Yoyash also. He then, when she was removed, and Yoyash was now was accepted as the new Melech, he made a bris with everyone together, lihiyos le'om la'Hashem, to serve Hashem, to reject the ways of Asalia, and to go on a new derech to serve Hashem. Pasuk Yizayin, vayavo kol am beis habal. Everyone came to the Beis Habal, vayititzuhu. Now the Beis Habal was the place where the Avodah Zarah was, vayititzuhu, and they demolished this temple. There was a temple where they tortured. I think to demolish. Vayititzu means fire. What does it mean by lashon tzitzu shvira? Demolished. They demolished it. Yes, you demolished their altars. So this was a base Habal. This was a temple, and the temple that was used to offer to service the Baal was demolished. Yes, mizbechosav. Yes, tzlamav. All of the altars. Yes, tzlamav. All of the images. Shiver. They broke. Yes, maton kohen habal. There was a kohen gadol. Okay, the chief, the bishop, the pope. The Pope, the chief Pope of this, his name was Matan, Kohen Habal, Hargu Lufnei HaMizbechos, they murdered for the Mizbech. Vayosim Yehoyada Pikudos, Beis Hashem, Yehoyada appointed Pikudos, Beis Hashem, Bien HaKoyanim, instructions. He now issued a new set of instructions and orders. He gave orders, Beis Hashem, Biyad HaKoyanim, Halavim, Asher Cholak David, Al Beis Hashem, Lehalois, Oilus Hashem. He gave new instructions to the Koyanim, Halavim, that were divided according to the charge of David. David was the one who instituted the Mishmaros, as we learned in the meeting of Divrei Hayamim, Lehalois, Oilus Hashem, to bring off all the Korbanos, to resume the Korbanos, because it appears at this point in time, there was a halt. They were not offering the Korbanos the way they should have been, because Asalia prevented this from happening. Now, everything was resumed the way it should have been. Kakasur b'saras Moshe b'simcha, with joy over shir al yidei David, the songs that were composed by David. Vayamed hashayarim al shar beis Hashem. They appointed the gatekeepers on the gates of the Beis Hamikdash. V'lo yavo tamei l'chol davar, and they did not allow anyone who was contaminated to enter the Beis Hamikdash. Vayikach sarei hameos v'yes ho adirim, the mighty ones, v'yes hamoshlim ba'am, the rulers v'yes kol am haaretz. Vayored el samelach beis Hashem. They brought him down from the Beis Hamikdash, Vayavohu b'soch Shar HaElyon, Beis HaMelech, and they brought him to within the upper gate. It's not clear where these gates are, into his palace. Vayoshivu es HaMelech al Kisei HaMamlocha, and they sat him down on his throne. After this event took place, after they deposed Asalia, after they anointed him, and they put on the crown, they put on the Sefer Torah, and they made a bris, and they began resuming the korbanos. He now sat on his throne. And the land was at peace. The land rested. V'chorev, and she was killed by a sword. Okay, so it's a lot more to do. They have all the mitzvahs, the rashi, which will pick up. What?
All this in one
Shabbos. All this in one. Pretty good, huh?
Well, they didn't nap that Shabbos.
Even the rabbi made a drasha.
They got a big kid in the
what?
That's why they took
just one Shabbos and we all be free.
They wanted public
execution. Oh, that's okay, possibly. Okay, I don't know the answer. There must be, I don't know. Okay, we'll see maybe tomorrow. I don't know.